This is Vatican Radio. Hundreds of experts from around the world are in Rome this week to attend a conference looking at best practices to help people with disabilities fully engage in the life of the Church. The aim of the event, entitled Catechesis and Persons with Disabilities, a Necessary Engagement in the Daily Pastoral Life of the Church, is to bring together all the resources available for the catechesis of people with disabilities. On Saturday, the 450 participants, including those with special needs, will have a private audience with Pope Francis. One of the experts taking part is Dr. Liam Waldron, whose specialist subject is isolation and disability. He spoke to me, Lydia O'Kane, about the important place those with special needs have in the life of the Church and the issue of isolation and loneliness, which many people with disabilities can face.
My own doctoral research was into the area of loneliness and isolation among people with disabilities. But there is, I think, in the world of pastoral theology, what we might call a discipline of disability theology, which asks us to reflect on what God, Jesus, the scriptures all mean against the backdrop of the presence of people with disabilities in the world. And there's a lot of really good work going on right around the world among Catholic theologians, pastoral workers, catechists, but we're kind of a disparate group. And so there was a move this year, the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It was felt that there was a lot of work going on, but we weren't always talking to each other or clear about what we were all doing. So they brought everyone to Rome, and that's why we're here for this conference over the few days. And I have a great interest, as you said, in isolation and loneliness. I think it's a huge issue generally, but it can be a particularly difficult area for people who have disabilities. It can be difficult to make friends and keep friends, and often people with disabilities, like any of us, who can't survive the world without good, sound relationship with others. I think sometimes people find it very difficult. Even people who stretch out the hand of friendship with people who have disabilities do that. It isn't always grabbed and grasped by somebody else. So that's a particular interest of mine. And over the weekend, we'll all be talking about these issues. But there's a lot of emphasis as well on catechesis in churches and parishes around the world for people with disabilities.
Well, it just brings up the whole topic of education, though, doesn't it? I mean, people are starting to really, I mean, look at this conference, for example. The word education and what can be done, what qualifications are now available to people to study, therefore really broadening out what can be done, what practical help can be given. Mm-hmm. With qualifications available, with education available to educate people, so that people know exactly what is needed to really help people with special needs and disabilities.
Yes, I mean, there has been a lot of work, I think, over the years. You know, Jean Vanier, who founded and started the L'Arche communities in France in the 60s. They're now all over the world. You know, he's very, very influential in the world of disability and Catholic thought. And indeed, among theologians who are not Catholics, he's also very influential, because for a long time, theological reflection on the issue of disability had been done among Reformed theologians. And even though there were some marvellous work, my own supervisor, Professor John Swinton, for example, in Aberdeen, is one such. But under a lot of it was, I feel anyway, you could detect the influence of people like Jean Vanier, Henri Nouwen, and so on. And now this subject is being, as you say, broken open. And you can now work and think about and write about disability from a theological perspective now. It's always been done, I think, maybe pastorally. But it's very important to have, I believe, you need a good, firm theological foundation for that, as well as a practical way of working. Because you can do lots of things for people with disabilities. But actually, you know, what we need to do is be with people with disabilities. They sometimes say that we have proximity without presence. You know, we're close to them. People with disabilities are in our communities, but are we really present to them? Which, of course, is the whole problem with loneliness and isolation. We have people among us, but are we really present to each other?
I mean, looking at the issue of disability, and also your field, which is loneliness and disability. I mean, we look at people older people, but people who may be isolated in a certain way, they don't go out much. So their only friend, as it were, is maybe the medium of television or radio. I mean, is that the case for people with special needs, people with disabilities, that, you know, they may be in their house and their only comfort, their only lifeline is perhaps their radio?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are so many people with disabilities around the world who have no friends. And this is really a scandal, I think. And we as Christians need to be doing something about it. And they're at home, people, they're isolated, they're in houses and apartments on their own. They have the radio on. That's where they get their companionship. That's where they hear what's happening in the world, even related to the church, for example. If they're church people, they listen in. A lot of them have told me that. So radio, TV, all of those media are really rightly important lifelines for people who have disabilities. And they often tell me, you know, that their day is punctuated by certain radio shows and radio programmes. And they listen to certain people at certain times of the day and the afternoon and so on. They look forward to it. Whereas sometimes we might hear something on the radio. But for them, that's it. That's a friend, a voice. And they often talk about radio presenters and TV presenters by their first names. So they say, oh, I was listening to Mary, or I was listening to this and or that, you know. And so that's a very important thing. And that's the only lifeline. That's the only friend they have.
We're looking at the church and best practices. I mean, how important is it that the church takes into account people with special needs? And is this really a landmark moment where you have 450 people there who are giving their input, their insight?
Well, you know, people with disabilities of all kinds are members of our parishes all over the world. Growing up in the west of Ireland myself, you know, I knew people who would come to Mass on a Sunday, and they were part of the community, and that was really important. And this is the case all over the world, that people with disabilities are already in parishes. But I think that really what we have to watch is issues of caring for people with disabilities is not just somebody's job, one person's job, or the job of a committee, for example. And sometimes there can be a tendency, perhaps, in our parishes. You know, committees are very useful from an administrative point of view, but we have to be careful that if somebody mentions something about disability, we don't say, oh, well, that's Michael's job. It's nothing to do with me. Of course, caring with and for and working with people with disabilities is everyone's business, because they're part of they're our brothers and sisters, they're part of our communities everywhere around the world. And I think that it's important that they're seen as key and core to all our the lives of our parishes everywhere. So it's not just one thing we do among other things. It's caring for people, or it's just like people with dementia, people who are lonely, people who are isolated, all of that. All of these people are our brothers and sisters, and it's not just the work of some committee. We're all in it.
I mean, a conference like this, but also the Paralympics, the Special Olympics. How important have those events been in really highlighting the issue of disability, bringing it to the fore, showing people what people with special needs and disabilities can actually do and can do very well?
Yes, well, it's interesting you should mention the Special Olympics. I actually, when the Special Olympics, the first time ever outside the United States, was in Dublin in 2003. And I was working at that stage with adults with disabilities in a centre training people for further education and employment. And I was at the event in Croke Park, and I remember Mrs. Shriver of the Kennedy family talking about this, and she said, you know, this evening we're all here, but remember there are people around the world with disabilities wondering why it is that they have no friends. And it really struck me in this atmosphere of celebration that indeed there were people everywhere who were isolated and lonely with disabilities who had no friends. Now, so events like the Special Olympics, the Paralympics and that, it does lift the lid and makes it all very visible. And I think that's really important. But what's really important also is that the athletes themselves, for example, form relationships with others. And so there's a practical side to it of physical activity and getting out there and being active, and that's always very good for your mental and physical health. But those events do demonstrate that we've moved on from the old days when even my parents would tell me, for example, that people with disabilities or handicapped people, as I suppose was the word that used to be used, were sort of locked away and hidden and not very visible. So, yes, these events really, really do that. But I think as well, it is important to see that people can do things. But, you know, even if people can't do very much, they're still our brothers and sisters. And they're still in need of life-giving, loving friendships. And that's something that I'm very keen to kind of pursue in my own work.
Do you think someone like Pope Francis, even going back to Pope Benedict, Pope John Paul II, have they helped with that visibility, as you call it?
Well, I think they have. You know, Pope Francis, there's a lot of excitement around the world about Pope Francis and his very public engagement with people who have disabilities. And I think we're all probably used to seeing these clips, you know, of him stopping a car and getting out and going over and engaging with and speaking to people with disabilities. And in fact, Saturday at the Urbaniana at the university, we're meeting the Pope. He wants to meet all of us, and we'll be there, and people with disabilities will be there. And I've no doubt that even though I'd like to have a big long chat with him, I'm pretty sure he's going to go and speak to people with disabilities first, and maybe he'll get around to us afterwards. But I think that is really important, that the kind of work that he is doing, particularly recently, because, again, as you say, it makes these things a lot more visible. But it also challenges us to embrace not only physically but also at other levels people with disabilities. And we see it's almost like we maybe get permission to do it, and we have a guide and a model and a challenger. I mean, the current Pope really does challenge us around these things to have people included in our the community, our parish life, and so on. I mean, it is a challenge to us. So he's there leading the way, I think. But then lots of other people in parishes around the world are working away as well. But as you say, that kind of visibility and calling us here to Rome, the council that you mentioned earlier, Archbishop Fisichella, and the Pope himself were keen and interested in this, and that's really why we're all here.
I should bring up a point that people with special needs and disabilities will be participate. They'll actually be speaking and participate.
That's right.
That's an important point, isn't it?
It is. It is an important point. It's sometimes, I think, in the world of academic theology, it's very nice, and I mean, I'm a theologian myself, and it's very nice to reflect academically and think about it and go to conferences where everybody sits around a table and nods about things and agrees and disagrees. But it's absolutely essential that we hear the stories of people's own lives, because I've always believed that theological reflection on this, it's not just about theory put into practice. It's actually what we might call praxis, theory-laden practice. So you have theory and practice, and they go back and over and inform each other.
Just on a final note, what would you like to see coming out of this conference? What can it achieve? What would you like it to achieve?
Well, I would like this conference to be beginning of another renewed conversation about the place, the vitally important place of people with disabilities in the life of the church. And already, as I say, there's a lot of great work being done, but I think this could maybe concretize it in a way and open it up to those who've never thought about the fact that you could think about all of this theologically and be challenged. So I'm hoping that going forward, there'll be renewed conversations and new conversations, and that we'll realise that at the end of the day, disability or no disability, people are brothers and sisters of each other.